Oh, isn't that terrible? I lost my nerve. I was supposed to do an Edward G. Robinson imitation, and I do it so rotten that I fell out on the first word. So I never made it as an impersonator. I just want you to know that Edward G. Robinson will join us here in a few minutes. Music first by the group known as A Small Circle of Friends. Robinson was once named Hollywood's most lovable gangster. However, he pointed out he'd made 80 films and he was a gangster in only 10 of them. And a famous line that's supposed to be his, well, he has something to say about that too, in this interview from Mallorca, Spain, with reporter Rick Lazar.
Eddie, where did All Right You Guys come from?
I think from the first man who must have given a very impressive imitation of me. I don't remember myself ever using that expression in any of the gangster roles that I happen to play. But whenever I try to give an imitation of myself, I always have to start off with those lines that they demanded. In other words, I have to give an imitation of the imitators now rather than an imitation of my own self. And I think if it ever came to a, let us say, a contest of imitations of myself, I said I would get the booby prize.
Eddie, you're evidently well-fixed. Why do you keep on going on in the movie industry?
Oh, I don't know about being well-fixed. One is never well-fixed because it ain't me that I'm thinking about. It's the wife and kids, you know. So I'm not actually well fixed. Well, I suppose I am. I could go on for many years what I have. If there's no inflation coming on, my dollar doesn't go down like the pound and all that kind of thing. But aside from that, why shouldn't I go on? That is my profession. That's my business. And it's a very wonderfully interesting business, and particularly these last years, they take you all over the world. And since my interests have been in the world and traipsing around here and there, and trying to speak a little bit of their language and finding out some about their mores and the arts, the wonderful treasures that are in the different various parts of the world, I don't see why I should quit.
Tell me, was it more fun to make motion pictures years ago, or is it more fun today?
These last years, it may have been a little more fun in that I don't carry the burden of the full picture. I come and make my modest contribution to a picture. If you get what I mean, it's what they call cameos, you see. Although in this particular picture that I'm doing here, which at the moment happens to be called Checkmate for McDowell, I play the leading role. But that's a deviation from my practice the last, I would say, 7 or 8 years.
Eddie, tell me, where are the Bogarts going to come from, and the Cagneys, and the O'Briens, and the Edward G. Robinsons?
Why do you need Robinsons, and why do you need Bogarts and Cagneys? Why not have your own people? I mean, each generation has its own people that it brings about. And I don't see any reason why Robinson must go on. Robinson didn't try to be anybody else but Robinson, and Cagney didn't try to be anybody else but Cagney. And the same goes for Bogart. And I'm sure there are wonderfully new talents coming along. And only time, of course, will establish that. We don't know how many of them are going to endure. I suppose you're talking about, you're referring to these names because they had lasted and they had made their impress. Well, that takes time, doesn't it? And I'm sure that there are talents about now. There's no use mentioning names because I may leave out some that are now very popular and will continue to be popular for years and years.
Well, Eddie, before we end our interview, would you do me a favor, personal favor?
Yes.
And I know, though you imitate it, would you say, all right, you guys?
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I can't do it. I can do this. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been actor Edward G. Robinson. This is Ricky Lazar in Palma de Mallorca, reporting for Monitor.
All right, you got... Nah, neither of us can do it.
While making a film in Spain, Mr. Robinson has been adding to his art collection. And he predicts that a young American artist there, from whom he bought paintings, will become one of the world's greats. Later on Monitor, we'll have an interview with that young man. His name is John Albrecht.
Watermelon summer, a hummingbird hummer. Every day was a slumber in the shade. It was a tail-telling whopper, banana split topper, a tall, cool glass of lemonade. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, you made it that way.
It was a lot of water splashing, a fall down kind of laughing, good old times rehashing afternoon. It was a backyard barbecue, a hammock swinging room, meet the summer's watermelon moon. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah.
It was a melody of crickets singing in a thicket. It It was the game of hide and seek, we kicked the can. It was all the odds and free, every time for you and me. His hiding was the best part of the game. You made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way.
Yeah, yeah, you made it that way. Your sweet love made it that way. Yeah.
Mr. C for Como. Mr. C for Cap, coming up in 5 minutes, here on the Monitor Beacon.
That sound was very important to the fighting men who protected our country during its early years. It's the call to horse. Times have changed since Americans reacted to that sound. In today's modern world, this is the sound that brings men to instant action. If you're a young man who has a college degree or are within 210 days of graduation and think you'd like to be a part of today's exciting aerospace team, why not see your local Air Force recruiter? He can give you all the details about officer training school and a flying career with the United States Air Force. See him soon.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Wish I could tell you something even halfway cheerful about the tight money situation, but who can figure it out? What to do about the gold shortage? Do the economists know what to do? It could be. But we liked what a fellow writing in the Lafayette, Indiana Leader had to say. He said, if all the world's economists were placed end to end, they wouldn't reach a conclusion. Music on Monitor by Karen Chandler.
I get along without you. Of being sheltered in your arms, of course I do. But I get along without you very well. I've forgotten you just like I should. Of course I have, except to hear your name or someone's laugh that is the same. But I've forgotten you just like I should. What a guy, what a fool was I, to think my breaking heart could get the moon. What's in store? Should I fall once more? No, it's best that I stick to my tune. Perhaps in spring, but I should never think of spring, for that would surely break my heart in two.
Monitor's other expert on nothing with opinions on everything, Al Capp, to whose description we add, self-styled critic of old movies on TV.
Don't think I'm complaining about the late, late Randolph Scott movies on TV most every night. Whenever the Secretary of State remarks to President Ulysses S. Grant, "To make this nation great, Mr. President, our coasts must be linked by the miracle of the steam engine. But, Mr. President, to build that railroad, we must fight our way through hostile Indian territory, and we need a man to lead that fight." And when President Grant smiles quietly and says, "It so happens, that very man is waiting outside that door at this very moment, and when it turns out to be that the man is Randolph Scott, well, I'm proud to be an American and an insomniac." But I'd be willing to give up five late, late Randolph Scotts for one late, late William Powell. Anyone.
They can pick it from the warehouse at random.
Blindfolded, because 50 to 1, it'll turn out to be the one we love best, where William Powell is the mouthpiece for public enemy number one, played by Eduardo Cianelli. Now, that's the one William Powell always made, year after year, with no changes. Sometimes the role of Eduardo Cianelli was played by J. Edward Bromberg. It's that last scene, the big courtroom scene, I want to relive again, with Mary Astor playing the beautiful young widow he's in love with, and Samuel S. Hines as the judge. It always went this way. Just before William Powell is about to trick the jury into acquitting Edward Cianelli, or possibly J. Edward Bromberg, from his 53rd murder rap, Mary Astor remarks to him, "A man who uses his heaven-sent gifts for such filthy purposes is no man my little son and I want to share our lives with." So, in a dazzling reversal of the arguments in his final charge to the jury, played by Herbert Rawlinson, Eddie Quillen, Glenn Tryon, Helen Twelvetrees, and several other former favorites who needed work at the time, instead of getting the mobster off, William Powell gets him sent to the chair. Well, Edward Bromberg is pretty sore about this, but William Powell takes his medicine like a man. He is sentenced to 20 years for malpractice and malfeasance, but he's pardoned by the governor, played a bit too cheerfully by Ronald Reagan. He and Mary Astor get married, and he adopts her child, played by George Jessup. And this is Al Capp, who remembers not only Kenneth, but Otis Harlan on NBC's Monitor.
Now, in order to narrow the generation gap just a bit, I'll explain, kids, that Kenneth and Otis Harlan were big stars of the silent movie days. Al remembers them. I do not. I don't even remember movies, really. And TV, Lord knows, is forgettable. Anyway, old Al will be back later today, so
just keep tuned to Monitor.
Sing, Ave Maria.
Latino's latest liturgy, A Voice in the Choir.
Here's one of the 101 perfect strangers who's taste-tested a new 101. The filter cigarette 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds. Ma'am, what do you think?
Oh, what do I know about cigarettes? I'm a lumberjack.
Well, you must have some reaction.
I do. I think that silly millimeter is silly.
How about the taste?
That's not silly. I'd like them even if they weren't 1 millimeter longer.
A silly millimeter longer. 101. A silly millimeter longer. 101.
The 101. It tastes one better.
Timber.
Morgan for Monitor on NBC stations all across the nation. In Colorado, dial KOA, Denver. The 50,000-watt voice of the West. Back shortly.
This is Mel Allen. For a complete wrap-up of all the weekend sports news, please join me on Monitor on NBC Radio.
It's Monitor. It's 68. Your weekend companion keeps you up to date with news and music and comedy.
Got a headache? You know what some people do when they have a headache? They go to a headache clinic.
Details on that in 3 minutes or so. Meantime, a little kite therapy. Notice I didn't say, meantime, go fly a kite. The music's by a group called The Free Design.
Thank you.
5 years ago, a great discovery for acid indigestion, heartburn, and gas was introduced to doctors. Now it's your turn.
Well, it's about time. I have indigestion and heartburn whenever I eat too well.
Think of the future. It's going to be swell, thanks to Digel.
Digel?
That's the name. Look, this is your plain white antacid tablet. It neutralizes excess acid. Digel's different. It's white and yellow. The white layer neutralizes excess acid, and the yellow layer contains simethicone, an extra ingredient that helps break up stomach gas, too. Digel comes in tablets and liquid at all drug counters.
Someone in your family have a muscle strain? Try the Musterol massage. This exclusive therapy relaxes muscle strain as it rubs out pain, stimulates circulation as it speeds warming relief to pain and stiffness. Musterol relaxes muscle strain as it rubs out pain. Musterol.
On the other hand, maybe what aches is your head. I've often wondered where I could take mine for a quick cure. And our next monitor guest may have an answer. He's Lawrence Walter, a chiropractic physician who has set up a headache clinic in New Jersey. Bill Ryan, NBC News, spoke with him.
What's a headache?
A pain in the head. But at the level that we're dealing at, it's a pain in the head which occurs in sufficient chronicity to interrupt one's daily
activities. Wait a minute. What's chronicity?
It happens often enough, over and over, over a period of days and weeks and months, so as to interrupt one from their normal activities. In other words, anybody can have a headache as an overindulgence in food or in drink, but that of its own nature is self-limiting, and it goes away by itself. The level at the chiropractic headache clinic is those people who suffer such severe headaches as to incapacitate them.
And suffer them chronically, is that it?
Continually.
Mm. Now, what have you done about it?
Well, the entire basis of the clinic is such as to create an area where two things can happen. Where firstly, we can disseminate the information throughout the entire field at large and direct it to the patient. And secondly, have the best controls that we can have so that patients who do suffer from headaches can have the best available techniques available to them at the clinic.
What information do you disseminate?
Let me relate for you a story. When we first opened the clinic, we sent letters at random to all the book publishers, all the medical book publishers in the United States and Europe, and requested them to send to us all the volumes they have on headaches. Had we done that with almost any other specialty, we could expect to receive perhaps 200, 300 volumes. We received a total of about 9, maybe 10. There is not that much information available. So it becomes a matter of going to all the papers that are written, bringing this information together, disseminating at the clinic, and directing those patients who have the problem towards the best possible doctor to deal with that problem. Now, we are a chiropractic headache clinic, so if the problem is such that requires manipulation, we will deal with it directly. If it requires some other specialty, they will be referred towards that specialty.
I see. You mentioned the regular headache, the one that comes from overindulgence. Can manipulation cure those? Can you fix a hangover?
Only if we can manipulate your hand away from your face.
What do you do, stiffen the elbow? Is that...
We do nothing along those lines.
What led you to think that chiropractic could solve headache problems?
It's not really my thinking. The most current literature available today points very strongly between a causal relationship between headaches and interference with nerve and blood supply to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that nerve and blood supply has its origin, so to speak, at the level of the neck, so that when one has an interruption with function at the level of the neck, the headache becomes a symptom, not a condition, but rather a symptom of the problem, which really exists at the level of the neck.
I see.
And if we can find that area where the problem has its origin and rectify it, then hopefully we will reduce or alleviate the headache problem.
Now, is this true of most chronic headaches, that they are symptoms rather than problems themselves?
A headache is almost always a symptom. It is not...
Ah.
You see, there are no... We can stick a needle right through your brain and you would not feel it. The brain itself has no pain fibers. All the pain fibers that allow you to know that you're in trouble exist around the levels of the brain. So that it's only as these blood vessels or nerves go up through the neck and into the brain that they can have some interruption that you will feel. So the correction has to be at the level of the neck The headache itself is only a symptom.
I don't mean to be flip, but then that old line about that pain in the neck gave me a headache is true.
Absolutely.
Your hobbies are scuba diving, parachute jumping, skiing, and flying.
You're doing research.
Don't you get headaches?
I'm very fortunate. I never had a headache.
Congratulations. This is Bill Ryan reporting for Monitor.
So, if you find that the chronicity of your headaches is due to various pains in the neck, get yourself some new friends. Or you can go to Mr. Walter's clinic.
Here's one of 101 perfect strangers who's taste-tested a new 101. The filter cigarette 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds. Ma'am, what do you think?
Well, I think everybody should love one another.
I mean, what do you think of 101 cigarettes?
Oh, I think that silly millimeter is silly.
How about the taste?
Well, that's not silly. I'd like it even if it wasn't 1 millimeter longer.
A silly millimeter longer. 101. A silly millimeter longer. 101.
The 101. It tastes one better.
Love it.
Before the hour, Mel Allen with a sports roundup in 5 minutes on Monitor Beacon. Young people give many reasons for their rebellion against what they call the establishment. The causes of their discontent will be examined on NBC Radio's Second Sunday series this evening. Here's one of the voices of discontent.
My father fought in World War II. You know what? He's still a nigger. You know that? He's a veteran, but he's still a nigger. My brother's in Vietnam right now. He's still a nigger. When he comes back, he's still a nigger. He's always going to be a nigger in America as the way the present system is set up.
That voice is only one among many who rebel against the present social order. This evening here, the young rebels, The Reason. Another in the monthly Second Sunday programs on NBC Radio. Music for you now, something new by the Anita Carr Singers. Thank you.
Give you another reason why you should
stay right here on NBC.
Because in one moment, Mel Allen reports on Today in Sports. Monitor Sports is brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company.
Hi, this is Phil Foster. You know something? I get sick and tired of people telling me I talk with a bad Brooklyn accent. Like when I say State Farm Mutual is the world's biggest car insurance company, because it offers the world's best car insurance value, meaning low cost, and more than 13,500 full-time agents and claim representatives to give you fast, fair, friendly service. Now, where's the accent problem? When I say State Farm or world's biggest, maybe when I say best car insurance value or fast, fair, friendly service. Now, be honest, folks. Does that sound like a bad Brooklyn accent to you? To me, it sounds like a beautiful Brooklyn accent. Hey.
For your car and your home and your life. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
At the Monitor Sports Desk, Mel Allen.
Thank you very much, Henry. Hello there, everybody. Green Bay smashed Oakland 33-14 in the Super Bowl, Green Bay's second straight Super Bowl victory in as many Super Bowls played. Green Bay scored the first time and had the ball, marching from their own 33 to the Oakland 32 in 10 plays. Then Don Chandler kicked a 39-yard field goal. In the second period, Chandler climaxed a 17-play drive from the Packer 3 with a 20-yard field goal that made it 6-0. Moments later, after Oakland was forced to punt, Bart Starr found Boyd Dowler on first down with a 63-yard touchdown pass, and the Packers went out in front 13-0 as Chandler added the conversion. The Oakland Raiders answered back with a 78-yard drive. It covered 9 plays, climaxed by Daryl LaMonica's 23-yard touchdown flip to Bill Miller. That made it Green Bay 13, Oakland 7. And then in the final minute of the first half, the Packers' Donnie Anderson forced a punt from his own 1. Oakland's Roger Bird signaled for a fair catch, fumbled. Green Bay recovered on the Oakland 45. 4 plays later, and with just 1 second left in the half, Chandler kicked his 3rd field goal, a 43-yarder this time. That made the halftime score Green Bay 16, Oakland 7. Green Bay scored again the second time it had the ball in the opening moments of the 3rd period. The Packers marched 83 yards in 11 plays, Donnie Anderson carrying over from the 2. The key play, though, came on the 4th play of that drive. With the Packers on their own 41, 3rd down and inches,
Bart Starr crossed up the Oakland defense by passing to Max McGee, carrying the ball down to the Raider 25. In the closing seconds of the third period, Chandler got his fourth field goal from 31 yards out to make it Green Bay 26, Oakland 7. In the fourth period, Herb Adderley picked off a desperation Darrell LaMonica pass at the Green Bay 40, ran it back the rest of the way, getting a tremendous block right at the end. 60 yards the play covered. Chandler converted. It was Green Bay 33, Oakland 7. Oakland scored on the very next series, marching 74 yards in four plays, the touchdown coming on a 24-yard LaMonica to Bill Miller pass. George Blanda converted. It was Green Bay 33, Oakland 14, the key play in the drive, a 40-yard pass from LaMonica to Pete Banasak. And I guess it was the kind of a game that turned out to be best described with Ben Wilson, the fullback for Green Bay, down on all fours looking for his contact lenses with his back to the game. Canada's alpine skiing World Cup holder Nancy Green suffered a slight fissure on her left ankle bone while working out in Austria today, but doctors say she should be fit for the Winter Olympics in Grenoble, France, next month. And in tennis, Billie Jean King of the United States won the Tasmanian women's singles title with a 6-3, 6-4 victory over Australia's Judy Tegart. The men's crown went to Australian Ray Ruppels, who downed England's Graham Stilwell in five sets. Voting is underway on 51 candidates for election to the Baseball Hall of Fame. On the ballot, Joe Medwick, Frank Grassetti, Frank McCormick, Terry Moore, and Archie Vaughn. Two-thirds of the total votes cast by members of the Baseball Writers Association is required for election. That's the late sports news, Henry, on this Super Sunday. Mel Allen here, friends, and now this word about Chesterfield 101.
Here's one of 101 perfect strangers who's taste-tested a new 101. The filter cigarette, a silly millimeter longer than the hundreds.
Make it fast. Time is money.
You're an accountant.
No, a clockmaker. And I think you're kidding about that extra millimeter in case you're interested.
How about the taste?
I think you're serious about that. I don't blame you. It does taste one better.
A silly millimeter longer. 101. A silly millimeter longer. 101.
The 101. It tastes one better.
I don't need to get wound up about it.
Mel Allen will be back in Poison with more sports news and results on the later portion of Monitor.
Kenton, the tune, Sunny. Warm and friendly Morgan here in the frozen Northeast. See ya.
The wheel must take a station break. Don't turn your set off, don't you make a mistake. Don't leave us behind, there's still lots more time. Good morning, sir.
Gourmet singing How Could I Be So Wrong from the new Broadway musical Golden Rainbow, starring Steve Lawrence and Evie Gourmet, currently playing previews at the Schubert Theater, West 44th Street. Tickets on sale now at the box office. Buy seats today for Steve and Evie in Golden Rainbow.
How could I be so wrong?
the International Relief Agency, serving humanity for more than 21 years, offers evidence that giving is receiving. Grateful recipients of care packages write, "From the depth of our hearts, we thank all those who have looked over us as fathers. To the hungry, homeless, sick, needy people of Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East, care represents hope for a better life. Brighten your own life and theirs. Send gift dollars to CARE, New York, 10016. Dr. Joyce Brothers keeps her appointment with you weekdays after the 9 a.m. news on the Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.